to him for mercy call? Will you come to him and prostrate fall? Will you come? Will you come to Jesus full of mercy? Will you give him time and talents too? Will you not prepare to reign in glory? Sinner, to your precious soul be true. Will you come to him, the Lord of all? Will you come to him for mercy call? Will you come to him and prostrate fall?
When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with their lies. Hosea 7:1-3. Good morning, friends. Think of the condition of these people of Israel, Samaria, and Ephraim in the days of the prophet Hosea. It must have been great indeed for him to have warned them in terms like these. And they didn't seem to take their wickedness with much seriousness. It seems the king was even glad, and the princes delighted. Just think of the corruption when conditions exist like this. Reading farther on down in this 7th chapter of Hosea, we find these words: as an oven heated by the baker. One commentator puts it this way: Hosea makes a twofold comparison of the Israelites, to an oven and to dough. Jeroboam set fire to his own oven, his kingdom, and put the leaven in his dough, and afterwards went to rest, that the fire might have time to heat his oven and the leaven to raise his dough, that the false principles which he introduced might infect the whole population. This prince, purposing to make his subjects relinquish their ancient religion, put in a certain sense the fire to his own oven and mixed his dough with leaven. At first, he used no violence, but was satisfied with exhorting them and proclaiming a feast. All Israel was seen running to this feast and partaking in these innovations. But what shall become of the oven, the kingdom, and the bread, the people? The oven shall be consumed by these flames. The king, the princes, and the people shall be enveloped in the burning. Verse 7. Israel was put under the ashes, as a loaf well kneaded and leavened, but not being carefully turned, it was burnt on one side before those who prepared it could eat it, and enemies and strangers came and carried off the loaf. See verse 8 and 9. Their lasting captivity was the consequence of their wickedness and their apostasy from the religion of their fathers. End of quote. But if you think this is deplorable, hold on a moment. Let me give you a few more verses, beginning with verse 8. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. When they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as the fowls out of the heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. I'm made to wonder how much of this sinful condition would apply to the people of our day, and if so, would not the God of heaven find ways to punish the people for their departure from the truth? Adam Clark, in commenting on these verses, had this to say. Verse 9, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. The kingdom is grown old in iniquity. The time of their captivity is at hand, and they are apprehensive of no danger. They are in the state of a silly old man who, through age and infirmities, is become nearly bald, and the few remaining hairs on his head are quite gray. But he does not consider his latter end, is making no provision for that eternity on the brink of which he is constantly standing, does not apply to the sovereign physician to heal his spiritual diseases, but calls in the doctors to cure him of old age and death. This miserable state and preposterous conduct we witness every day. Oh, how fast does a human being cling to his native earth. End of quote. Dear ones, how sad. It is true that a single night of pain or danger may whiten a man's head, but normally it takes years and years for this to show up. So it is with spiritual things. Sometimes it seems that a good man has gone wrong suddenly, but if we knew the whole story, no doubt there was a void and a lack in his spiritual life long before this. Perhaps his experience was honeycombed with things which were not right. His neglect and carelessness was spread over a period of years. I am reminded of that song, Wasted Years. Just think of the good years which are being wasted today in the service of sin. But we may be sure there is coming a harvest time. One writer has declared, it is the plague of many that they are not plagued. Even this is their punishment, the want of punishment. The insensible heart is the devil's anvil. He fashioneth all sins on it, and the blows are not felt. End of quote. If it be true that spiritual decline comes slowly and unconsciously, it is also true that the moment of its realization often comes swiftly. When Jesus said to his disciples, "Will ye also go away?" Perhaps they then realized in a flash how close disloyalty had come to their ranks. When we fix our eyes on Calvary, it is then we are revealed to ourselves. So long as the cross suggests no more than history, theory, theology, ritual, churches, and charities, it never pierces consciousness with its shattering, revealing light. But when we stand in honest contemplation of it, it tells us in words we cannot stifle or evade the story of our own misdoings. Yet the message of the cross is not one of discouragement. It declares that in the strength of the crucified, we can be more than conquerors. The cross tests us. It discloses our inmost fiber as it asks, will you be a coward and a slacker in the battle for your own soul? Or have you just begun to fight? Don't forget this verse about the gray hair. Gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. Do we understand by this that those who are aged and old do not sometimes realize how near they are to the end of the way? Do they not realize their hair is gray? I am reminded of this scripture here in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and beginning with verse 11. Though sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow because he feareth not before God. And speaking of gray hairs, here is a scripture which I like much better. Listen, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Proverbs 16:31. So really, it is no disgrace to have gray hair and no disgrace to be old. Old folks are to be esteemed and reverenced, especially is this true if they have lived in such a way to gain and hold the respect of those who have known them. Otherwise, they don't carry much weight with those who know of all their evil doings. Let us pray. Our Father, bless the message as it goes out over the airwaves. May it find lodging in honest hearts who are searching for the truth. Help us not waste our years, but spend them in a wise manner which will bring us and others joy at the end of the road of life. And thine shall be the praise through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks to every listener for a few moments of your time. If we may be of help in some spiritual way, be sure to let us know. You may contact us by addressing your letter to The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. Now the song, My Sins Are Gone. The singers are Bob and Doyle Forbes, Randall Flynn, and Melvin Doolittle.
Was at the old time altar where God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession, the devil did depart. I'm glad my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone.
Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless you and a very cheerful goodbye.
As far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone.